Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
Amen. You may be seated. Glad that y'all are here this morning in the house of the Lord. And as we gather together just to sing praise and glory to Him, be filled with His Holy Spirit and the power and joy that He has in store for all of us. And as you're here, remember we talked about last week just about your expectations. And so I pray that you have an expectation today that you will leave changed. You will leave transformed. You will leave with just a new perspective on how good the Lord is in your life. If you're here today for confirmation, welcome. We're glad that you're here to support our kids and just their journey of faith. If you're just a visitor with us, a guest, not a visitor, a guest with us for the first time, welcome. There's no secret handshakes. There's no rhyme or reason about faith in Christ other than just believing in Jesus. And that's who we are all about here. If you're joining us online, thanks for taking time to join us and be a part. And I just want you to have a great time today. Amen? Amen? Just to be filled with the Lord and filled with His joy. Lots to happen, lots to go on in life. Let's just celebrate that and let's just start right now. Lord God, thank You. Thank You for the time that we get to have together as the body of Christ, as a family of faith. Lord, we're all are welcome and wanted. Lord, let us just celebrate Your goodness today. Lord, let us rejoice, Lord, in Your love and Your mercy. Lord, let us grow in You. And Lord, then let us take it to the world to show them. Lord, we love You, we thank You, and we praise You. And with a joyful shout, everyone said, amen. Father, we just, Lord, let's just, we're just going to lift our hearts to You, Lord, in prayer right now. Lord, You know what's in our minds. You know what's going on in our lives. Lord, You know where the deepest needs are. You know where the chaos is. You know where the struggles are. Lord, You know where the joys are, where the paths are straight. And Lord, where things are going well. And Lord, where things are not going so well. Lord, we lift those to You. Lord, there's the struggle of loss in this room today. Lord, there's the joy of new birth and a family this weekend here in the life of this congregation. Father, there's a little bit of a family reunion going on right here this morning with people that are gathered together for confirmation today. Lord, there are people that are returning to faith in You. Maybe new to us in this room, Father, but they are not new to You, Lord. So I'm just so thankful and grateful. And Lord, as we lift ourselves to You this morning, Lord, it's not about just meeting all of our needs, Lord. We just want to recognize You as we just lifted our voices. Lord, You are King of the universe. Father, You are the good, good Father. You are our Lord and our Savior, Lord. You sacrificed for us when we didn't even know we needed to be sacrificed for. Lord, thank You. Thank You, Jesus. Lord, folks, just let's just even quietly just make that our prayer.
Lift my hands up.
Backtrack for just a moment. I didn't do it earlier, and Dallas even reminded me, and I was just so excited about just seeing some folks and everything, I totally just forgot to do a recognition. And I do want to recognize and give honor and just give great thanks. If you could turn up the house lights for just a moment, want everybody to be able to see around the room. We just want to recognize the veterans in the room, those who not just here, but all over that have given to so much for us. We even have some in our own family and going to be deployed in the next little while. And so just there's just a lot that goes on in the life of military families. And boy, they deserve thanks. Amen. Gosh, they deserve thanks. So if you're a part, yeah. If you've served in the military, if you've been active duty or reserve duty or you're retired or whatever, however you want to classify yourself, would you just please stand so we can just thank you? Amen. Lord Jesus, just be in our teaching time. Lord, just flow through me, Lord. Set me aside, Lord. Just use the words that you have given me, Lord, to change our lives, my life included. In the name of Jesus, amen. So I know it's a really kind of a silly teaching title today, but you'll get to why I named it this, and we're going to do this a little bit this week and a little bit next week to follow up with the second half of the story that you're going to hear in Acts today. But Nana Nana Boo Boo, right? And how many of you, when somebody messes up, that you really just want to say that to them, right? I mean, it's kind of like, I told you so. How many of you have ever been told so? Right, you messed up in life, or you made a wrong decision, and things happen. And when that took place, somebody literally said, "You know, I warned you, or I told you so, or whatever it might be." And listen to me. I don't want to say it's a bad decision, because not all wrong decisions are necessarily bad. Because sometimes we think we're making a right decision, but it doesn't turn out so well. And we're going to talk about how and why that's possibly happened. And then, have you ever really made a wrong decision in the middle of all that, and then you just kind of felt sick over it? And you thought, I knew I shouldn't have done that, I knew that was going to happen, but I thought I would just try it, or whatever it is. Now, if you've never made a wrong decision in life, if you know the scriptures and you follow Jesus all the time and all your life, and you know you're good, y'all just go ahead, and I encourage you, you don't need this teaching today. You just head out and have brunch on my behalf. I just saw two people walk out, so I'm going to be really curious when I see them next week. They must be prophets, because I know they're next to perfect. And so I'm kidding. I saw where they went. They're right over here. When you hear this, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Bitterness? Regret? Does it make you sick to your stomach? Do you wish you could go back and change things? What is it in your life that this has happened to? Because I promise you, I can tell you times I've sat in my car. I've been at a stoplight, I've been at home in the kitchen looking out the windows, I've sat in my office, wherever it's been, and I can go, oh my gosh, why did I say that? Why did I send that text? Why did I post that on social media? Why did I respond to them that way? Why did I even care? Why didn't I just go on? Why? We all do it. We've all been there. And if you haven't done it, you're going to do it. It's just a matter of time, because mistakes are inevitable, right? I mean, there's great teaching out there. There's the business world, all the things. If you're not failing, you weren't trying. I mean, that's just a reality of it. Now, there are ways to mitigate the failure. There's ways to mitigate the hurt and the heartache that come along with that. But it all comes out of our decisions. And you have to make a lot of decisions every day. I just, on a whim, I Googled some psychology of decision making. We make, are you ready? This is just mind-blowing to me. We make, on average, from the time we get up to go to bed, we make on average 35,000 decisions a day. 35,000 a day. Now, some of those can be monumental, and some of those can be, well, am I going to have hazelnut creamer with my coffee, or am I going to have vanilla, right? Am I going to even have coffee or not have coffee? Am I going to exercise or am I going to eat a Reese's peanut butter cup? Those are usually my choices. And I mean, there's a lot of choices. Okay? And not just little ones, but it could be, how am I going to respond in this conversation? How am I going to teach this person? How am I going to teach my children? How am I going to love on my spouse? There's lots of things. Am I going to tell this person, they're telling me all about their life problems and their story and all these things that happen? How can I talk to them about Jesus? How can I interject a prayer into this moment? Right, all sorts of decisions that have to be made. What am I going to wear today? Right, am I going to put on makeup today? Am I going to wear my hair up or am I going to wear my hair down? Am I going to paint some more hair on or am I just going to look natural? Right, am I going to wear leather pants? Am I going to wear red leather pants or black leather pants? Aren't y'all waiting for that day? Yeah, I mean, there's so many things. 35,000 a day averages 3 hours a day that you spend making decisions. 3 hours a day. Decisions matter. And this is where we find Paul today. We find Paul today not only making decisions, but decisions that are made for him, which is another whole topic of conversation that we will get to. And this is in Acts 27. I'm not going to read the whole chapter of Acts 27. I encourage you to do it. I put it in the online notes. It is the whole story of this moment in time for Paul and on a ship. I'm going to give you some bits and pieces of it. But here's what happened to Paul, right? Some of the decisions got Paul into the place where he was right now. Paul was a Christian, right? He was teaching the words of Jesus. It got him arrested. And in this arrest, he's going to Rome. And he had to get on a ship to go to Rome. And so there's this long journey. So they weren't all just necessarily Paul's choices. They were choices from other people. How many of you sometimes are in a place because other people made choices? This is where I say, and I'm guilty of it. I have grown up in life a lot of times saying, I can do what I want to do because my choices only affect me. And let me just tell you, that's a lie. Because eventually, those choices affect somebody else. Maybe because my choice affected me, but it changed how I live my life. My choices affected me only, but it got me to a new place in life where it's really affecting the lives of others. It's not all about us. And in my choices, I know I'm the only one that does this. Right? Well, I know that I did that and it was wrong and it got me in trouble, but man, the devil made me do it. Amen? Well, y'all are smarter than I am. Right? No, the devil doesn't make you do anything. Okay? I'm not going into that. We've talked about that. The devil has no power. Okay? Most of those are just really poor choices. I know the devil is prowling around like a roaring lion watching to seek, kill, and destroy. Okay? But when your car didn't start this morning, that was not the devil. That's because your spouse has been telling you for a month to get a new battery and you just ignored them. Right? My lawnmower didn't start this last week. That wasn't the devil. That's because you've neglected your lawnmower for 2 years and not put oil in it. Right? I mean, just whatever it is. I mean, there's just choices after choices after choices, right? God, my marriage is falling apart. Satan is killing my marriage. No, you're killing your marriage because you're not paying attention to it. My kids hate me. Right? The devil is just all over my children. That's another whole topic of discussion. But no, it's because you have neglected your responsibilities as a parent, right? Not that they, I mean, now don't hear me just because they went off the deep end and got stupid. That's not always your fault. But let me just tell you, if your children hate you, if you have no relationship with your children, something went wrong somewhere, not the devil, right? There's choices involved over and over and over and over again. And it may have been their choices, but remember, we deal with other people's choices. So here's Paul. He's on a boat, right? He's on a ship. He's a prisoner. He's in shackles. He's in chains. He's in handcuffs and leg irons, okay? He's not a free person. He's on this ship, and they're sailing from one port to the next to try to get to Rome. And in this time, Scripture tells us, again, I'm not going to read the whole thing to you today, and really, really, really encourage you to do that. They've gone from one port to the next, and as they get to this final port where they're at currently, it's wintertime, okay? And in this port, they've decided that, man, this is not a good place for us to sit for the winter. Okay, now they're sailors. Okay, they have to move the ship from one place to the other. This is not like winter Texans, right? People that come from the north and take over our state for 4 or 5 or 6 months. They're not doing it by choice. This is not a vacation. This is not luxury. They're not in their Class A motorhome, right? They're saying, we need to get to another place so our ship doesn't get damaged during the winter, so our livelihood can be sustained, so we can, I mean, there's real reasons, okay? And especially in the Mediterranean, I'm not going to get into all this, but I started wondering why it was such a big deal for them not to stay here in the winter in the Mediterranean. You know, when I think of the Mediterranean, I mean, it's sun and it's beaches and it's a really pretty coastline and it's 85 degrees year-round, right? No. Nasty winters in the Mediterranean, in the seas, in the ocean towns, in the harbors, in the wrong places can get really nasty for ships. They thought they needed to move. And when they said, we're moving on, this is where Paul comes in. Paul comes in, and in scriptures, he says this. He said, I don't think that you need to move. I'm telling you that if we move, bad things are going to happen. Now, we're going to get to this, but why didn't they listen to Paul? Paul was in the storm, and when they're in the middle of this storm, after Paul had already told them, Paul warned them, when they're in the middle of the storm, he said this. He said, when many had lost their appetites. Anybody been on a ship that there were lots of waves? Anybody been on a cruise? Anybody been on a cruise you wish you'd have never went on? Yeah, I mean, when that boat starts rocking, your stomach starts knocking, okay? I mean, and when it does, I mean, it is not fun. And it is not, any of y'all ever just go out on the coast and you go out on a sailboat or a fishing trip and you get into the waves? Right. I mean, I've seen everyone in my family hanging over the side of a boat puking their guts up, okay? It was supposed to be a 3-hour tour. Some of y'all will catch up to that later. And if you have younger people, just explain it to them after a while, right? And so he said, after many of them had lost their appetites, Paul then stood among them and said, men, you should have followed my advice and have not set sail for Crete and thereby spared yourself this damage and loss. Really what Paul is saying, as back to the title of the sermon today, is na na boo boo, I told you so. Right? I mean, that's really what he's saying. And it's not like that it was really a funny thing for him, but Paul knew. I mean, Paul said this is what was going to happen. Now, can you imagine just being a sailor on that boat, or the cook, or a soldier, or the captain? I mean, you could freely kind of try to figure out how to hold on or whatever. Paul's in chains and shackles. I mean, he's not free. He's having to endure this while all this is going on. And really, what Paul is saying is, the Lord showed me and you didn't listen. And here's what I would say as a side note, is that if the Lord shows you something, we're going to go back to that our national security saying in the United States, if you see something, hey, looky there. If the Lord shows you something, say something. There is nothing worse than when a parent comes to you, I have this experience, right, and says, I told you not to do that, right? Okay, that's bad enough. But when they come to you and say, well, I could have warned you, but I didn't. Why didn't you warn me? I can hear my mom saying it, because you weren't going to listen to me anyway, right? Paul, but he told them. He said, this is not a good idea. We need to stay right where we are. But yet they didn't. And why didn't they? Why didn't they stay right where they were? Well, because what pushed them over the edge was they had a want. They had a desire to get out of this port and go to another port. They didn't care what was going to happen or what that was going to take. They said, we need to move on. And if they would have just listened to Paul. Now listen to me. All of you have a life. All of you have chapters of life. All of you have verses of life, right? If they would have just listened to Paul a few verses earlier, just a few verses earlier, he said, I perceive the voyage will certainly be with damage and great loss, not only to the cargo and the ship, but also of our lives. But the centurion was more persuaded by the pilot, the captain, and the navigator and the captain of the ship than was what being said by Paul. So how did they get to this wrong decision? How do you get to wrong decisions in your life? I think one of the things is the wrong decisions come because I didn't think that my mom knew what she was talking about in that particular scenario. Anybody have children? Any of you have been children? And you were way smarter than your parents, right? And children right now, you think you're way smarter than your parents. Right? But yet, Paul was listening to the Lord. And when somebody has experience going before you, you want to listen to them. But why didn't they listen to Paul? I'll tell you why they didn't listen to Paul. If I'm a captain of a ship and I've sailed the Mediterranean for years and I know where I should be and where I should be going, the last thing I'm going to do is listen to some yahoo that's a prisoner of the emperor and he's got chains and shackles on and he wants to tell me about sailing a ship, right? Even just last night, I had an argument with, I had a discussion with someone that was saying, we shouldn't have driven this way because this way is slower. We should have gone a different way. And I said, no, this way is faster. And they said, no, the other way is way faster because of this, this, and this. And I said, the last thing you want to do is argue with a cop on which way is faster to go. I know. Yeah, that's what Paul was trying to do. I'm just telling you, this is not a good idea. You've never sailed a boat in your life. But yet, Paul knew. And how and why do we know? Why do we not listen to people? Why do people not listen to us? This is why. The recognition, right, of your value determines the reception of your voice. How people recognize you and value you and your experiences in life and what you have to offer really determines how powerful your voice is going to be. Because if you come to me and you don't know anything about whatever we're talking about and you say, well, you should really do this, I'm going to say, well, thank you, but I don't think so. Right? But if you're the expert, if you've been there, right? If you've got the scars, the marks, and the tattoos that you've proven, tried, and tested what's going on, I'm going to listen to you. And yet, we try to do this all the time in life. We don't have stock with people. Every time I talk to you about how you need to have influence in people's lives, what gets you influence with people's lives? Time. Spending time with people and having energy with people and going through trials and tribulations with people and having stock with them. That's what it is. Not always a title, but time with each other. And this storm, right, this storm started, and yet in the middle of that, it could have been avoided if they would have just listened to him. My question is, who should you be listening to today and who should you be talking to today? Who do you need to have influence with? How can you teach somebody? How can you help somebody? Not just avoid hitting the guardrails, as we just talked about with our confirmands, but really how to get them to know Jesus, how to get their life saved eternally, how to introduce them to the one who saves their life. There are storms, right? Paul tried to tell them. I mean, he even sang the praise song to him that we sing, right? The rains came, the winds blew. Paul said, I told you, we're going to die. They didn't listen to him. They didn't listen to him. Sometimes we need to be listening. There are storms that you don't have to go through if you will listen to good, godly advice. Somebody that you can trust, somebody that knows Jesus, somebody that has been there, somebody that can help you search scriptures, somebody that can help you look and see what God is doing in your life, even when you can't. And stop listening to the people, by the way. There are people that, all sorts of people that'll talk to you, but I also know there's people that just enable you, enable your poor choices. Enable what you've always done so you'll always be who you've always been and you'll never change. There are people who will tell you to decorate the hole that you've gotten yourself into just so you'll stay there. They are everywhere. Because some people, the only way they ever feel elevated in life is to put you down, to make sure that you stay where you are, not to move you forward in life. And I'm so tired of this, what we call the random cancel culture. What we need is counsel culture. My new word. We need a counsel culture. We need to be able to talk to people. Even when it's not comfortable, not going to talk about that today. The recognition of our values determine the reception of our voice. Remember that in everything, because what happens when we stop listening to people is we start doing it our own way, and that's not good. And that's where our desire becomes the enemy of discernment. These sailors, this captain, this navigator, they wanted so badly to be in the next port that they couldn't see what was going to happen along the way. I didn't know this, but in the Mediterranean, the worst time to sail is in the winter. Matter of fact, you can get some really cheap cruise rates right now in the Mediterranean between now and April. And it even says, I love this one website, here's what you need to be cautious of. It may not turn out so well. Quote, unquote. I'm like, boy, that's an advertisement, isn't it? Not that you're going to sink, not that you're going to die, but it may just not turn out so well. Boy, that's a life story right there. See, they wanted it so badly. Here's what happens, is that it says in verse 12, it says, since the harbor was unsuitable to winter in, the majority decided we should sail on, hoping to reach Phoenix and winter there. Isn't it funny that Phoenix is also a place where people go to winter? This was a harbor in Crete facing both the southwest and the northwest. See, there was a time to sail and a time not to sail. I think Ecclesiastes chapter 3, I'm not sure of the verse right off the top of my head, but there's a season for everything and a time for everything under the sun. That was not a time to sail. But yet they said, we're going sailing. And they knew. They knew. Even right decisions can be wrong when they're in the wrong season. I want to start a new business. This may not be the right time. What kind of business you want to start? I want to open up a snow cone stand. In January? Not the right time. I want to get married. Well, how long have you been dating? 6 weeks. Not the right time. Right? I mean, there are times for things. And there are seasons for things. I saw an advertisement one time, and it was for someone who was a life coach. Okay, and this life coach was 24 years old. Need I say more? I'm so glad you want to be a counselor. I'm so glad you want to be a life coach. Could you please get some life under your belt? Right? What did John Wayne say? Don't trust a man without a limp. Yeah, I mean, if you haven't experienced it, don't come talk to me about it. If you don't really know, I mean, don't come, coach me, right? Sometimes when you set sail on the wrong decisions, there are consequences for your actions. The folks on the boat, though, they had to start throwing stuff overboard. Paul said, "Don't do this. It's going to get bad." And when they started taking on water, the boat started getting lower and lower in the water, and they couldn't get all the water out fast enough, and so they started throwing grain overboard. They started throwing provisions overboard. They started throwing boxes overboard. They threw off the luggage. They did all of that stuff. See, they started having to let stuff go that they were hanging on to be able to survive, and that gets us to Acts 27:22. It says, "But now I urge you to keep up your courage. Keep up your courage. Because not one of you will be lost." He's saying none of y'all are going to die, but the ship is going to be destroyed. Now, See, that's a wrong decision and a wrong season, but here comes Paul giving them the right encouragement. You've made a wrong decision. You set sail when you shouldn't have set sail. God's telling you that you shouldn't do this, but you did. And yet there are going to be consequences for your action, but you're going to live another day to have another chance. And that's where grace comes in. And I'm so thankful for another day and another chance. I don't know about you, but boy, I need those every day. Even Scripture says mercies, even though there may be trouble in the night, mercies are new each day. Each morning we get another chance, and we should take advantage of that chance. And here's what's so great about that Scripture, is that when Paul got that word from the Lord, it says, we talk about an angel of the Lord spoke. The Lord didn't speak to the boat. The Lord didn't speak to the vessel. The Lord didn't speak to the ship. The Lord didn't speak to the business. The Lord didn't speak to the entity. The Lord didn't speak to the shipping company. The Lord spoke to the most important vessel, and that was one of His children, and that's you. He's going to speak to you. You may lose the business, right? Everything may turn out to be in a shambles. Your relationships may hurt, but you are going to be saved, and you will have another chance. And it may be another day, it may be another week, it may be another month, it may be another year, but it's another chance. And what do we do with those chances? We need to live into them. We need to live through them. You might lose some stuff, but you're not going to lose your life. Amen? Come on now, that's good news. That's the best news, is that there's always going to be another one. I mean, you may have the scar. You may have the mark. Right, you may have been bankrupt. Your family may be in shambles and tattered and just a remnant of what you used to be. But what did the Lord do with a remnant? He rebuilt a whole nation of His kingdom. But just a little remnant, just a little bitty piece. As long as you still have a voice, right, you still have a purpose. Let me say it again. As long as you still have a voice, as long as you're still taking a breath, you have a purpose. I don't care what's happened. It matters, but in the grand scheme of what God wants to do, you're not done. Because if you're still breathing, He's not done with you yet, right? So you've got to keep going. And that's what Paul did. So next week, here's what I'm going to do, is I'm going to tell you what happens when it says that you may lose the ship, but you're not going to lose your life. You may have to go through these things. He says, keep up your courage. Here's what I want you to do this week is find courage in your life in Christ. Find a way to... I don't believe in the theology of pick yourself up by the bootstraps and move on. Because if you pick yourself up, you're just going to keep falling, right? Anybody, I mean, you're going to be like, how many of y'all remember Greg Larson in The Far Side? Some of you don't. One of the best analogies that I've ever seen about just silliness and how we use words and just how things can be formed in our mind, Greg Larson was the guy, 100%. But when you think about picking yourself up by the bootstraps, it's a one-panel cartoon. It's a one-panel cartoon, and it didn't even say anything. No one was talking in it, but it had a caption. This is picking yourself up by the bootstraps. It had a caption. It said, boneless chicken farm, and all you see is a bunch of chickens just laying on the ground. If you're trying to pick yourself up, all you're going to do is be laying on the ground. If you're trying to save the ship, and the Lord's just trying to save you, you're going to be swimming pretty quick. You need to allow the Lord to pick you up. Allow the Lord to breathe life into you. Allow the Lord to give you the energy, the Lord to give you the direction. Because here's the thing about wrong decisions. If you never learn how to work through those and how to start making the right decisions, the godly decisions, this is where it matters. It's not about sailing. It's not about getting to Phoenix. It's not about getting to a better harbor, right? It's about being where God has called you to be in life. And if you continue to make wrong decisions, you're never going to be where God's called you to be. I'm not talking about little failures. I'm not talking about setbacks. I'm talking about a constant ignoring the word of the Lord. So, if you've already set sail when the Lord didn't tell you to, if you've already gone your own way, just say, Lord, chart me a new trip. Turn me. Steer me. Guide me. See, the same kinds of wind, where the rains came and the wind blew, I mean, those can be detrimental, they can be hurtful, they can be catastrophic to a ship, they can break the mast and they can sink a boat, but the refreshment of the rain from the Lord gives you energy. The power of the wind of the Holy Spirit energizes us and moves us in His way. Same power, different direction. Where do you want to go? Who do you want to be with? Who do you want to listen to? This is the day to decide, and this is the week to start living different. Lord, I'm encouraged for my own life. Lord, I'm encouraged for that I know that I have set sail in many ways on the right course and sometimes on the wrong course. Lord, I pray that for those that are on the wrong course, even in my own life, Lord, let's just lower the sails on that dude. Let's stop traveling that way. Lord, and for the things that I need to throw overboard, I pray that you would show me those too. Lord, and where I'm sinking, I want to be like Peter, and I want to reach out to you and say, save me, Lord. Save me. There's going to be aftermath. There's going to be accountability. There might need to be some rebuilding. But Lord, you can do it. I don't want to do it on my own. I don't want to pick myself up. Lord, I want to, with outstretched arms, have you embrace me, hold me, carry me, set me back down in a new way, in a new direction. And Lord, and just as Paul was doing, Lord, sail with you and help others along the way. It's in Jesus' name I make my prayer, in his powerful name, in his holy name, his name that is the name above all names. And all the people said, amen.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.